When the COVID-19 pandemic hit humanity in late 2019, we suddenly realised that the systems that hold us together are fragile. Our understanding of what is essential has changed dramatically, and we've had to find new ways to work, study, and create. To be together while apart, take care of ourselves and others, and find ways to build a similar but different world. In this third season of Modcast, we explore these cultural, economic, and personal challenges and ask how we can learn from this disruption to frame the future. Welcome to Life Interrupted. Doing business, delivering services, and generally keeping healthy and safe have all become huge challenges in the face of this pandemic. But human beings are exceptionally adaptable. It's been the key to our success through the ages, and learning from this experience will define the ways that we take on whatever the future holds. I'm Elaine Bartamucci, and in this episode of Life Interrupted, we will explore resilience, with examples of how some sectors of our community have responded to the changing times with varying degrees of success. Unprecedented. It's a word we've heard over and over in relation to COVID-19, and while that is the case with some of it, humans have experienced pandemics and infectious diseases for centuries. Dr. Ani Kataba is an archaeologist, anthropologist, and historian in ancient history. She says the greatest difference is our connection through social and virtual engagement.
The thing that we're observing at the moment is this virtual engagement that is available really for the first time. Even a decade ago, when we had the first coronavirus, the SARS-1, we didn't have all of the social media and networks. And I think this is something that is very different about this pandemic historically.
Ani Kataba compares this coronavirus to the Spanish flu, which also hit humanity on a global scale.
During the Spanish flu, we first discovered the phenomenon of healthy carriers. Before, people didn't really think about those asymptomatic cases that could have potentially carried the disease, but not have shown to be ill themselves. And for the first time during the Spanish flu, we're starting to talk about healthy carriers, something that is very, very prevalent during the current pandemic of COVID-19.
And while it feels uncomfortable to be stuck in isolation and quarantine on government orders, and we collectively can't really remember it happening before, Anya says it isn't so foreign when looking at history.
Quarantine is another quite interesting phenomenon. It actually comes from, again, Middle Ages. The word actually comes from Italian, 40 giorni, which means 40 days, and is a maritime term that was used for ships who returned. That's another interesting way in which our society is quite similar to that of the past, where people are disregarding the lockdown measures and restrictions because they just got a little bit complacent or fed up or bored. But I do think that we are the most adaptable species we have been. That's why we survived. We are capable of great adaptation.
COVID-19 has thrown up a challenge to most sectors of our society. From business to social services, the way we do things has had to change. Dr. Jonathan Louth is a researcher who focuses on the intersections between political economy and the experiences of everyday life. He works closely with those in the community sector, organisations that have been grossly ignored. But there are some examples of positive outcomes prompted by COVID-19, particularly when it comes to homelessness.
In terms of what's considered rough sleeping, we've pretty much solved that overnight. We've shown what can be done. And that's like a significant positive or opportunity that's emerged. Now, of course, one of the issues will be, well, what happens when we come out the other side? Do we just turf everybody back out on the street, or is there a genuine opportunity to change here? So that's something I'd point out where we have seen immediate change, but will it hold on? Will it last? I don't know.
While these steps towards getting people off the streets can be chalked up as a success, Jonathan says there are sectors which continue to be ignored. Cases of domestic violence have soared during COVID-19, largely affecting women and children who are unable to escape their perpetrator due to self-isolation and quarantines.
In terms of vulnerabilities and changes, what I think we are seeing is that there are a lot of cracks in our society that have been papered over for a very long period of time. And this pandemic has exposed that and has torn that paper away. So the question, the case of homelessness, there's a positive in terms of domestic violence, there's a negative.
When it comes to approaching problems in new ways, often the business sector leads with entrepreneurship. Joshua Fanning is the publisher of City Mag, a South Australian-based lifestyle magazine that interrogates culture, design, and business through Adelaide. He says there are a number of businesses who have stood by their community while flipping their operations to respond to the crisis, like Karma Bunny, which created the website Still Here, for businesses and consumers to find out what's open and how they can serve them during COVID-19.
It was a free thing, and it was just that spark of leadership, like, what can I do to help people in my community?
Another great example is the Big Easy Group, a hospitality cooperative that runs several venues in Adelaide, who changed their focus immediately to a food and alcohol delivery service.
The guys that own the Stag and Nola and Anchovy Bandit, they were already working about delivering booze and food and turning their bartenders into delivery drivers. And so they were on that first. They created a whole new template for how they could do business.
Cafe Troppo also moved fast. They turned into a makeshift corner store, selling things like eggs, milk, and pantry food items, and helping locals to avoid the chaos in the big grocery stores.
They just inverted that wholesale relationship that they have with suppliers. Because the context of all of this is also no toilet paper, people going crazy in supermarkets, people, you know, fighting over the most ridiculous items, hoarding pasta. You can make pasta from flour and water. It's crazy how people were behaving. You know, Adelaide really is in the middle of a food bowl. But yeah, Troppo really, they just thought about their community and taking that anxiety away from even needing to go anywhere near Woolworths or Coles. Like, I didn't want to go anywhere near those places and the sort of behaviour that I saw from the customers. So yeah, I was able to get eggs and olive oil, and I think they were even selling toilet paper at the start, just from that local community store. And those sort of pivots that the businesses created were so quick, and they have kept evolving the whole time. They haven't just stood still.
Joshua Fanning also says there is a lot that we can learn from the ethnic communities.
Hoarding didn't take place at Gaganas Warehouse. They have always bought in bulk. So when this came along, I wasn't worried. I knew Amiga would have my back and the Asian grocers. So actually there was no reprehensible behaviour across any institution with a little bit of colour and culture about it. It just made me think of that whole price war that Woolworths and Coles had. You know, prices are down, down. And really what that did culturally to Australia was create this me first, this dollars and cents approach, this misunderstanding of our economy. I do think we as a society need to recognise the contribution of our migrant communities. I mean, we're all migrants if you're not Aboriginal, but, you know, of the later migrants in the Greek and the Italians, they've always been calm. And I think maybe we all need to have a few things in bulk going forward.
Learning new ways of doing things and taking on board lessons from the community around us is one of the benefits we may see from this experience. Jonathan Louth calls this vicarious resilience.
That's where people take strength from the people they encounter, they take strength from the stories that they encounter, and that they're still shown to have a positive effect on either the people who are working with them or working around them, or if it's in the case of patients or clients, that those people who might have incredible resilience when dealing with a situation, that also inspires workers.
And Ani Kataba believes we will spring back as a community and have the potential to emerge as a better society.
We're now 8 billion people. We are a greatly adaptable species. And obviously following initial economic recession, which is inevitable, and we'll definitely spring back. And I think we will hopefully spring back as a better society. We see now great improvements in air quality. We see that the climate is potentially revitalizing, you know, and I hope that we will emerge as that better society, that we will be not only more globally connected, hopefully not just better environmentally and more climate sort of friendly, but also that we will be more aware of how the health system can help us through routine and through seasonal vaccinations.
Life Interrupted Resilience is one of the 6 episodes from Modcast Series 3. Today's episode was produced by me, Elaine Bartamucci. Our series senior producer is Sarah Martin from Radio Adelaide Podcast Works. Thanks to Anya Kataba, Jonathan Louth, and Joshua Fanning for their insights in this episode. Thanks also to Deanna Newchurch, Lisa Bailey and Kia Buckskin-James for their additional series support and resources. Our theme music for this series is Illume by South Australian artist Jazook. Other sound elements throughout the series were created by Tristan Louth-Robbins. Modcast Series 3, Life Interrupted, is presented by Mod at the University of South Australia and is linked to an online exhibition which you can find at mod.org.au.